Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Though even though I have that, I just can't use that. I feel like a caged animal over here waiting to burst forth. Well, so they say that darkness falls at the end of each day. It's not a momentous occasion for most of us. It is the moment that you turn the light switches on, you put your sunglasses away, and you calm down for the end of the day, knowing that the sun is going to rise tomorrow, light will come back, and life will go on as we know it. But darkness falling soon after dinner time is a drastically different scenario for those who do not have the ability to flip a light switch on. Wander out into the desert, far from the city lights, without any electricity or power source, and darkness gains a new definition. Take on this darkness alone, and it's no longer a calm ending to a day, but it's a plunge into a scary emptiness that feels like it might not have an end. Because even though you believe that the sun will rise again, you wonder if you're going to make it that long to see it. Many of our dark moments in life echo in that first scenario. There's a preferred life to what is happening and being handed to us, but we know we will get through it to see the dawn of a new day and the light at the end of the tunnel, so to say. We have been through tougher, we have been through darker, and we will know we will get through this night, dark night of our life as well. But then there are those events that plunge you into total darkness that you know is enveloping more than just a single night. Hope is not a four-letter word in your vocabulary, and there are no words of comfort for what you are feeling. You are just lost in the black and the darkness of the desert and the darkest night of your soul. This desolate darkness is where we find Mary Magdalene at the opening of our scripture this morning. The darkest night of her soul began on Good Friday, just after noon, when her beloved Christ breathes his last breath and seems to take hers with him forever. The sun fell and a power source could not be found that could cast even the faintest of light on the situation. It was simply hopeless from the moment they rolled the stone in front of Christ's lifeless body. Did you hear those opening words? On the first day of the week, while it was still dark. This was Mary's moment to weep and scream and allow her pain to sink deep into her being as she spent her final moments at the tomb by herself. But instead of receiving the slightest of comfort from being there, she's plunged deeper into the darkness as she not only finds the tomb open, but finds the tomb empty and without Christ's body in it. Her heart is broken and she drops everything and just has to run to find help. She goes to the place she trusts the most. She goes to Peter and to that other disciple and proclaims the theft of Christ's body. Here we remember that each soul handles grief and pain in different ways. Some souls cannot contain the pain, and there is no other option than halting in their tracks and crying it out. For some, they must yell and scream at the top of their lungs, some needing to feel like they're going to punch something because of what's trying to be contained inside of them. Some souls take to the physical punishment, needing to exhaust the body until grieving pain is replaced by physical pain and exhaustion. Some are able to push the pain so deep down that they walk through their routines as if nothing has ever happened. And yet some, the pain is so deep, they simply just cannot recover. Peter and the other disciples, Their pain is let out as it leads them back home, walking away from the disappointment that they had faced. But Mary's pain and darkness keeps her there at the tomb, paralyzed in place as she tries to come to terms with the most recent loss that she's had to endure. A movie I just recently rewatched is quoted as saying, "It's the worst torture in the world, waiting, knowing there is nothing you can do." And so Mary tortured herself like so many, sitting at the site of the tragedy, unable to pick herself up and continue with her life, but unable to do anything to stop the pain or help Jesus. But she wasn't without action. And I'll say she wasn't without hope. As she sat there weeping outside the tomb, she kept glancing in, it says, as if a miracle was just waiting to happen in that place. One miracle had liberated her from her previous life, a life of sin, and it had repurposed her into a life as a follower of the greatest teacher one could ever know. Jesus' life had performed countless miracles, and it was time for just one more to happen. And so she keeps glancing in. This right here, it's that moment right before dawn. Do you know that moment? To me, it is the quietest and stillest moment of the day, a moment of true solitude and reflection before the sun rises. If you've ever been up and outside, out in nature, you've had these tranquil moments, these moments that you know are just waiting for something to happen. Life is about to hit, but for one final moment, you get to take a deep breath of calm. It's like taking that deep breath before you're about to get hit by a wall of water. That last and final moment. And then it happens, doesn't it? The sun emerges over the edge of the earth, and light shatters the darkness as if the darkness is the most powerless part of all God's creation. You hear that moment in that text. You hear the moment in the text when the light breaks through the darkness and changes everything. It breaks through with a simple exchange of names. Jesus says Mary's name, and light bursts through as Mary proclaims Christ's name as Rabbi, realizing that the miracle she needed had happened and was living right in front of her. It transports us in that moment triumphantly back to the very beginning of John's gospel that doesn't open with a birth story of shepherds and camels and innkeepers and angels, but it's the story of hope that's saying what came into being was Christ, and Christ was life, and the life was the light of all people, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. It's right there at the beginning of the story. In the beginning of John is the message of Easter, that darkness cannot and will not have victory over us. Christ is the light of the world, and he bursts through the darkness of death. He shatters it to pieces, not to avoid his body spending eternity in a tomb, but so that we will not spend eternity in the darkness of our pains and sorrows and guilts and losses and sins and shortcomings, my friends. Jesus rose from the dead so that he could be for us each day what he was for Mary Magdalene in that moment on Easter morning. If we will just wipe our tears enough to glance in the tomb, expecting a miracle to happen and Jesus to rise right in front of us. My life hasn't been as long as many of yours. My ministry hasn't been as long as so many in our conference, but I have seen the light bursting forth in lives before my eyes, and I have needed sunglasses to shield me from the power of its brightness. I have seen light bursting through as illnesses are overcome with God's miracles of cures. I have seen light bursting through severed relationships to form new ones. I have seen the light burst through in the form of new jobs. I have seen the light burst through and the release of the prisoner and the return from war. I have seen the light burst through in the simplest of moments that changed lives forever. Many of these were thought to be hopeless situations, where the power of human beings was powerless, but the power of the love of God was relentless and did not hold back. But you see, it's like these lilies before me, these lilies that came into this sanctuary, that came into this church, all closed up, waiting to burst forth. But what did they need? They needed to come out of boxes and to get that light of the sun hitting them for them to burst open and bring their beauty. But where does it begin? It begins in a seed, doesn't it? Makes me think most of those sequoia seeds. I've sat in the sequoias and the majesty of those ginormous wonders. But they say it takes great fire to crack open those seeds, to create those mighty beasts. You see, Jesus was a seed that they thought that they had buried. They thought that they had buried him deep enough into the earth in the tomb that he would be forgotten. They thought enough dirt had been flung upon him through his arrest and trial and beatings and sufferings that he would be dead and gone forever. But like a seed, the death that happened on the cross ended one stage of his life and allowed the greater purpose of his life to burst forth out of the earth in a way that could not be destroyed. That is the hope of Easter. On Easter morning, life broke through the surface as Mary witnessed Christ's resurrected body. But it took a whole new life as Christ called her not to hold on to his physical being and to stay there with her, but he called her to be the first witness, the first evangelist. He told her, run and you tell my disciples that I am back, that I have been victorious, that I have risen to new life. And she burst forth with new life. You see, this is where we are. Without the darkness of Good Friday, we'd have no Easter morning. Without the darkness of Mary's first life, she wouldn't have the power of her witness in her second life. Without the shame of Peter's denial of Christ, we wouldn't have the power of his redemption and the story that leads to the beginning of the church. Without 3 blinding days allowing Saul to see the light of Christ, we would have no church built under the ministry of Paul. It took darkness. It took desolation. It took burying of who they were for their potential to burst forth out of the resurrection of Christ. And without our dark moments, and without our dark days, we are not able to truly be who we need to be. It's through that darkness that we gain strength and endurance to face what's in this world. Don't let the darkness overcome you. Don't let the world tell you there's no hope. Don't let yourself be defeated, but breathe in that moment of solitude that comes before the breaking of dawn and wait patiently for Christ's light to break forth in blinding glory to bring you new life. For Christ promises in John 8 that he is the light of the world, and whoever walks with him will not be in darkness, but will have the light of life. Alleluia. Christ has risen. Amen.